I'm gonna just give you a testimony. Last week, remember we played pray for Doug and Dina's grandson. He said as soon as he sat down, he got a text from his son saying his kid was up and around, walking and stuff. Just right when we prayed. Come on. Come on. As he sent the centurion. God is good. Let's going to do part five. But we're going to talk about faith over fear. We're not moving away from faith. We're not going to deviate from faith because that's the only thing that pleases God. Why talk about anything else? I mean, there's so many subjects in the Bible, but I want to be pleasing to God. I don't know about you. I want to be pleasing to God. You know, anybody remember the man that was in the Old Testament? He lived to be about 300 some years old, but he walked with God every day. I know his name. I'm just asking. It's kind of a test. And the Lord took him away. Enoch, he pleased God. And he spent so much time with him to the point to where he didn't want to come out. He didn't want to get out of his place of being in the presence of God because he realized there's nothing else that's better. He pleased the Lord. He walked with him. And the Lord took him away. See, when the Lord takes you away, you're not going to see death. People will say, God took him up. God took him. No, God receives you, but he doesn't take you. Because a lot of people have attributed certain deaths to God, and it wasn't his fault. So you can smile because God is not after you and then trying to take you out. He's for you. If God is for you, who could be? That was Romans 8:31. You could put that scripture up. I may jump around. Romans 8:31. Do I have that? I didn't give it to you. Can you put that up, please? I thought I put that down. It may not even be the right one. I might need to stick to my notes. Let's see. Yes. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever, I like to say it, who in their right mind can be against us? You know, it's never a good thing to be against the children of God. Pharisees found that out the hard way. God's for us. You don't ever have to waste your time about so-and-so over here and so-and-so over there because the reality of it is, if it's of God, all you're going to be doing is coming against God. If God sent them to do it, if God set them, told them to say it, or what have you, all you're going to be doing is just fighting against God. Not that they're God, but if the Lord sent them to say it, that's who it is. But if it's not of God, it's not going to come to nothing. It's not going to amount to anything. You don't even have to waste your time over it. You don't have to lose sleep over what somebody may say that isn't of God. God's for you. He's got your back. He's looking out for you. So what on earth do we have to fear? Who said that? No. Who was the man that said that? JFK? Roosevelt? Roosevelt. Franklin, right? Not Teddy. There is nothing to fear. When you're living a life that pleases God, you really have nothing to fear. What are we going to fear? I said, well, we've celebrated 25 years. It was a good time. We went to Top Golf. My wife does not like golf. And so she went there. She goes, yeah, I'll go. She gets up there. She starts. First one just, I think she missed. Swing or miss, right? Good thing she didn't fall, right? Because I would have been sorely disappointed because I didn't have my phone ready. But here's the thing. She was just up there just knocking them out. And I was the one, I was putting the name Top Golf to Top Golf because I was just topping my ball everywhere. I was like, she ain't going to let me play anymore. But we had a great time, 25 years. And these next 25 years is going to be even better. Even better. No distractions. It's going to be even better. Why? Because the enemy loves to just try to get in the mix and stir stuff up. You got to put your faith in God. You got problems in your marriage. Guess what? Faith over fear. What are you going to stand on? What are you going to believe in? What are you going to say to your wife? What are you going to say to your husband? Are you going to speak life over them, or are you going to speak fear? Somebody has sent her a text, and it had, I said, literally had my name on it. Like somebody is impersonating me or what have you. And then it had some other woman's name under that or what have you as an email. All I can think about is these 25 years is going to be nice. I didn't even get upset. We didn't. Just, what? Somebody trying to stir stuff up. You know, I used to say it makes me want to throat punch. But guess what? I'm past that. We've grown up. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your soul. Why? Because God's for me. Who in their right mind would want to be against me? This life that we live is not for the weak. You are not weak. You are strong. But in the sense of you are strong in Christ. Not by yourself. Not dependent, independent of Jesus. You are strong with Jesus backing you and leading you and guiding you. That's when you're strong. When you step out on your own, you're weak. You're going to do it in your own power, and you're not going to get the result that you need. So we live our life by faith. Faith over fear. What's our first scripture? Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. God never intended for you to fear people. You should fear the Lord. Sometimes you have to wonder what goes through people's minds when they choose to go against God's people. No, know this, they're not hearing from the Lord, so you never have to fear them. God didn't send them to come against you. Remember, even in the book of Isaiah 54, it talks about, don't think that I sent them. I did not send them to come after you. God did not send that person to come against you. This is where we get, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because our life has been. This is what I pray. This is what I preach. This is what I speak over my life. What? No weapon will form against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, because my life has been redeemed from destruction. Redeemed from destruction. My life has been redeemed from high cholesterol. My life has been redeemed from anything that comes to take my life. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. This is an inheritance that you have as a child of God. So why should you fear? You know, I love the story of Daniel, because Daniel, I mean, these young men were teenagers, but they understood their covenant with God. They understood who he was. And when these guys made these laws in Babylon, made these unjust laws to say, you cannot pray to God. You can't pray. You're going to have to bow down to this statue here. Nah, we're not going to do that. Daniel went up into his room, opened up the windows, and began praying to his God. He wasn't shy about it. Why? Faith over fear. The enemy will always put pressure on you. God doesn't put pressure on you. He takes that pressure off of you. God is not going to pressure you to do something in that sense. I understand people talk about Jonah. Jonah ran away. Jonah was disobedient. He didn't want to do it because he knew God's mercy. He knew about God's mercy. He didn't want those. They're defying your name. They brought these idols in and what have you. And, well, God chased Jonah down. Chased him down. When you fear people, it keeps you from doing what is right. You know what the word says about this? But since there are people behind the scenes making you do something that you shouldn't be doing, or it brings a snare to you. The fear of man will bring a snare. It's a trap. When you fear people, it sets us, you set your own snare. You're trapped, and you don't know how to get out of that. Be bold. It's okay to tell people no. It's okay to say no. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather not say that. I'd rather not go there. I'd rather not do that. Why? I got other things to do. It's okay to say no. If people get offended by you saying no because you put up a boundary, that's on them. I got boundaries. Some people don't like it. You got about 20 words with me out in the public. That's about all you're going to get. Now, if I sit down at your table, that's fine. You got about 20 words, and I'm going to start doing this. Just start, yep, all right. Yeah. Why is that? I got boundaries. I don't want to stay and talk too long. Some people just like to dig and try to find out stuff. But I'll tell you something, all right? Proverbs 29:25 says, fear and intimidation is a trap. This is the Passion Translation that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place. Place your complete confidence and trust in God. There are some people who are just very, very confident in who they are in their relationship with God. I saw a video that was just funny to me. This guy said, if you end up in heaven, you're not in heaven, you're in hell, because I'm not there. I was like, that's pretty confident, man. Good night. If you're in heaven and I'm not there, you're not in heaven, you're in hell. I was like, okay. But fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. It keeps you from stepping into what God wants you to do. It keeps you from serving in areas. It keeps you from stepping out and saying things. It keeps you from praying for people when you should. It keeps you from speaking life into people. It keeps you from taking that promotion on that job. Fear will keep you from doing those things. It'll hold you back. You know, it's really sad. You never have to apologize if God blesses you. You don't have to apologize to other people. If God blesses you with something and bless you with somebody finally, you know, they get married, they get a fiance, what have you, they get married, or be happy for them. What about me, Lord? This is where people end up saying, God, what about me? I've been faithful. I've been diligent. How come I don't have a man? How come I don't have a woman? Be happy for them. And see, on the other side of that, you never have to apologize for what God is doing in your life. You never have to apologize for the blessing in your life. You never have to apologize for the faith and the favor that is in your life. You don't have to apologize, especially to other believers. Because if God has given it to them, to you, he's given it to them. They're just not operating in it. They're doing a lot of comparing. And comparison will kill what God has been doing in your life. If you've been comparing, stop it. Just receive what God has done. Because we don't want to get to the place to where we're just stuck all the time because we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. Your comparison is Jesus. Your measuring stick is Jesus. And you're not ever going to measure up in that sense unless he's raised you up and seated you with him. But comparing yourself to people, That's not the way to go. That's not a life to live, because what happens? After the fact, they're gone on. I got to find somebody else to compare myself to. Instead of just fully stepping into what God has called you to. There's great speakers and preachers that I like, but I'm not them. And guess what? They're not me. So it would be dumb for me to compare and forget where God has brought me from. That shy individual that didn't like to get up and speak in front of people. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us of our sins and heals all our diseases. We can't forget what God has done in our life. So comparison will kill that. Stop comparing if you're comparing, and just live your life. Live your life free of comparison. Psalm 23 says this, we know this. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. See, God's not gonna leave you. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You make a statement when you say, I will not fear evil. Say that. I will not fear evil. Say that again, one more time. I will not fear evil. See the Spirit of God kind of working on the inside of you right now? It's like, okay. Your mind is thinking, okay, now I know I need to do this. It just unlocks something right there. Say that one more time. I will not fear evil. How about this? Take the evil off. I will not fear. Things are unlocking right now. Because you're like, man, I can do that. I can start that. I can go there. I can have this. What? Fear kept you from doing it. Fear kept you from pressing in. You know, I'm talking about short instances where I don't want to speak the word over my life. Like, why don't I? Doggone, the Bible's right there. Why don't I get into the word? I know I memorized it and it's in my heart. How come I don't say it? What's keeping me? That fear trying to creep on in. Man, forget this. God, forgive me. And then I begin speaking life over myself, over my situation. Fear will keep you paralyzed. You don't ever fear man. You don't ever fear people. In Psalms 21:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? You have to get David understood that God was his salvation, not himself. God is his light. It wasn't himself. We have to get to that place, if you're not there, to understand that God is our light and our salvation. There's nothing that you should be trembling over. There's nothing you should be fearing. It doesn't matter what kind of what the doctors may have spoken over you. They'll give you this case. Well, this is about a 12% chance of this and that. Thank God for the people who are working in that field and the believers, and they can get with that person and pray. Well, the doctor said this, but this is what God says here. I like it when those people that, you know, people work in the hospitals, nurses and staff and what have you, they'll sneak in a prayer with you. Thank God for that. Yeah, I understand what's the same, but here, this is what my Heavenly Father says. Yes, this is what they're saying. I said it's not good, but guess what? We have a good God who forgives of our sins and heals all our diseases. This is nothing. So let me pray with you. Let's get in agreement. Bible says out of mouth of two or three, if they agree concerning anything here on earth, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Let's get in agreement. Because what do you have to lose? By praying, by commanding it, what do you have to lose? Well, it's not going to work. Well, if the doctor says it's not going to work, they'll still charge you for a bill. I don't charge people. God doesn't charge. If we did, we have millions of dollars in this. I'll start charging. I'll send you a bill if you want me to. I work $1,000 an hour. Now multiply that by 10 seconds. You know, divide that by 10 seconds as long as it took for you to believe. I can send you a bill, but that wouldn't be from God. Because here's the reality. I said, you don't have to pay for your healing. It's already been paid. Anyone charge you for healing, for prayer, for deliverance, they ain't from God. Faith over fear. Every single day you live your life by faith. And you make no apologies for it. It's not your fault that God loves you. It's not that your fault that God blesses you. It's not your fault that you're walking around and you're happy. How dare you smile? I think I've seen something where someone said, if you laugh too much, well, that's an ailment or something like that. That's a disease. It's like, doggone, you laughing too much? Scripture says that laughter doeth good like a what? Come on now. See, some people don't want you to be medicated the right way through the word. They just want you to be medicated. I watch a lot of comedy shows, clean ones, for the most part. I laugh a lot. And I got some of the greatest. I told you, I'm the funniest one in the family. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. It's okay to laugh. Society will tell you it's not okay to laugh because they want you medicated up. God wants you medicated up, but with the word. It's good to laugh. A holy laugh. A laugh coming out of your belly. I mean, so deep that it just breaks free all the stress, the anxiety, the depression that might be coming in your life. Faith over fear. Does anyone fear anything right now? Is there any fear that you have right now in your heart? And you can be honest. You don't have to tell me. Just stick the word on it. I will not fear. I will not fear evil, and I will not fear you. I will not fear success. That was another thing for me. I would hold myself back because I didn't want to succeed, because I didn't think it'd be good for me. I would self-sabotage myself. Why? Fear. It'll keep you in bondage. But faith will get you out. Trusting in the Lord will get you out. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it's end. But it ends in death. There's a lot of ways that can lead people to hell, but there's only one way that will lead people to life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Titus Thomas had asked Jesus, show us the way. We don't know the way. Show us the way. How would you like to be called doubting Thomas, doubting in front of your name for centuries? No one would like, well, there's doubting John. There's doubting Gina over there. Doubting Thomas. But you know what? There's nothing wrong. Thomas was honest. Thomas was sincere. He didn't know anything. He asked. Doesn't mean that he was doubting. He just wanted to know. There's nothing wrong with asking. Ask the Lord. And he'll tell you. And Jesus gave him this answer. In John 14. He says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the one that men and women place their faith in. Jesus is the one door for the children of God to walk through. Jesus is his way and his word. He is the light. He is eternal life. You cannot get to the Father without Jesus. There's not enough good works that you can do in this world in order to do that. Because when do you stop? When you're dead? Then it's a, well, hopefully God can, well, there could be purgatory. And or you can just put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. Believe in the name of Jesus. And when you slip from this body, you go into the presence of God. That's a for sure way. Faith over fear. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has healed you. I don't want to see any more sick people. You come into church, you're going to get healed. I'm not going to let you leave not being healed. I don't want you to leave being sick. You should not leave here sick again. You don't have to put up with it. You should hate sickness. Don't nurse it. You should hate it because it's not from God. You should hate debt. Hate the things that God hates. Love what he loves. And he loves people. He loves his children. We should be loving one another. And that's hard to do sometimes. And I've had my moments. And it's, I wouldn't say my moments. I have my moment. You still got to do it. That doesn't change for me. God's not going to change his word for me. He's not going to change his word for you. We love God and we love people. Stop plotting. Love them. Go send them a gift. Buy them some lunch. Sow some seed into them. Pray for them. I'm just on that part. That's what I do. I pray. I don't eat yet, but I'll pray. Faith over what? Fear. We don't fear. In Matthew 21:18, it says, 18:22, 18 through 22. It says, in the morning as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry and he noticed a fig tree beside the road. Now we know, we understand, we read this in Mark 11. We always talk about Mark 11. This is Matthew 21. He says, he went over there. Over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have what? And don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will what? If you have faith. Now, how many of you have faith? He says you can pray for anything. This is according to his word. If you pray for anything, you will receive it. If you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. You can hold God to his word. This is Jesus talking. This isn't someone else trying to speak for Jesus. This is Jesus talking. The one that always got his prayer answered. Not Joe Schmo over here. Joe, not you, Joe. You know what I'm talking about, right? You can pray for anything if you have faith. You have faith. God has given you the measure of faith. You have faith. Pray for it. Don't fear will keep you from praying for it. Pray for it. You should be excited to get up. Okay, we need to get this service over with. Why? I got some praying to do. I have some receiving to do. I have some believing to do. I have some acting out to do on the word. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. So what do you believe in the Lord for? Because what ends up happening is that some people will pray for it, and then the next thing you know, they'll start saying something contrary to what they've been believing. And it just cancels it out. And then they get mad at who? They get mad at the preacher. They get mad at this person over here who's getting results. They get mad at God, but they don't ever consider it was this that kept it from coming to pass. Or actually, this, because it says doubt in your heart. You pray. Smile while you're praying. Why? Because you're getting ready to receive it. I don't know about you. I often say this. My wife likes when packages come. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't either, but you know. Why? Because you're expecting it. You got online, you purchased it. Whatever you needed. I'm pretty sure it was a necessity. It's very important for you. That's why you have to get it. And then you're looking on it. Okay, it's traveling. Okay, it's in Lenexa right now. Now it's making its way on over to Salina in transit. I said, you're watching it. Why? Because it's coming. You want to make sure there are no delays. And if there is a delay, you want to alert. You want to be informed if there is a delay. And then once it gets to your door, it's like even if you're at work or you're somewhere else, I got to go get my package. Right on time. So when you pray, you're getting on that line to God and you're praying and you're believing that you're going to receive it. Expect it to come. We come here with the expectancy. I expect miracles to flow. Not just when I get up here, when Brandon is up there, when the worship team is up there, and anyone, people greeting you at the door. When you get out of your car, you realize like in Azusa, I love reading about Azusa, they were getting off the train and people were just falling out because the power of God was, I mean, just miles away. Expect it. Miles away, they're just falling out because of what was going on in this little building where they used to house animals and stuff. Because the power of God was just flowing, fire coming down from heaven. We have to expect it. And if you haven't been, start. Start today. What? I expect to get results when I pray. I expect to get results when I sow a seed into someone else, that God is going to be bringing something back to me. Whatever it is, 30, 60, 100-fold. I expect that to come. I don't think there's any farmer out there, any farmers in here, that sows and doesn't expect seed to die and to spring up this crop. Well, we're going to put it in the ground, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen? What's going on here? You grow in the name of Jesus. Why? Because otherwise that seed is cursed. You expect it. Live your life by faith. You know, some say, were you a good student? A student? Dara, you're a really, really good student. But you expect to get good grades. Probably. I said, I just know you. Were you the one that took tests and just didn't have to study? Please don't tell me you were. That was fun. No, there are some people who can just, I mean, they just know it. They learn it, and then they can just take a test and just, anybody like that? Brandon, doggone it. We have one in the building. But that's a gift. And I mean, ain't no need for me to be mad because I've gotten A's before. They give A's out in PE. That brings the GPA up. We had a basketball class, seventh period. So there's another A. Got four period PE, seven period basketball. That's two A's right there, man. That's bringing that GPA up. See, the thing is, you got to get to the place to where you expect it. When I sow seed, I expect it to come. Not that you're just looking for it. It's just you're expecting it. Because it's a kingdom principle. You reap what you... That's a kingdom law. That's a principle that you live by. Expect it. I expect when I walk by faith, good things are coming my way. I'm pleasing to God when I live my life by faith. But in fear, you just open up the door for torment in your life. And Satan will torment you all day long as you want to. And your own self, your own mind will torment you. Shut that door off. I will not fear. I will not fear man. I will not fear evil. I will not fear Satan at all. No fear. You have do not be afraid in the Bible or do not fear over 300 and some times. You can use one every single day. So God is telling you something. God doesn't tell the unjust and the wicked not to fear. He tells his children, do not be afraid. He's for you. He's not for them. He's for you. Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Tom, be strong. Be courageous. Do not fear. You don't have to fear man. I won't say your name. But it's another man. And if this witness to you, if this ministers to you, let it minister. Be strong and be courageous and don't fear stepping out to what God has called you to do. And being that husband for your wife, being the dad to your children, don't fear. If this is ministering to you, let it. Well, Pastor Tim said this, let it minister. You don't have to fear that anymore. God's for you. He's not against you. He wants to help you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Be that man he's called you to be. No fear. No, you don't have to be a holy roller. Do I have to wear a suit every single Sunday? If the Lord puts it on your heart to, I'm not going to laugh at you. Some people clean up pretty good. But some people are so afraid to step into what God has called them to that they just stay in fear. Step out in faith. Faith over fear. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the people here, Lord. If there's any here that, you know, you've been living a life where it's just almost like it's in rebellion towards God. And you just kind of want to make things right today. Raise your hand real quick and we'll pray for you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If there's anyone here who hasn't asked Jesus, never has asked Jesus into their life, never made him your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Lord, your word says that if we confess with our mouth that you are Lord and believe in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved, Lord. And we just thank you for that confession of faith. We thank you for believing in our hearts that you are God. And Lord, we just pray for each and every person here at the sound of my voice and online. Lord, we thank you that you are effectually making a way in their lives, that they can live a life of expectancy because you back up your word. And you said, if we pray for anything, and if we have faith, we will receive it. And we receive the things that we prayed for in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand. We got Wednesday night services. Afterwards, if you want to, you can do pickleball. I don't know. Not a lot of people. Doug and Dina played. They were pretty good. They had me running all over the place. If that's something you want to do, you can. You don't have to. But we do have Wednesday night services. College is starting up. 7:30. R3, 6:30. Children's Church, 6:30 as well. If you have daughters and sons in high school, encourage them to bring a friend. Take them out to eat. You know, when Isaiah had his friends coming, I was taking them out to Sonic afterwards when they were in middle school, right? Then we went to Applebee's. Said, you come, we'll pay for your food. Buy them a treat. You don't have to do all that, but give them some ice cream or something. Father God, we thank you. We speak a blessing over this group of people, Lord. We thank you for their life, their health, and their strength. And Lord, we thank you for the favor that's on their life. In every area of their life, Lord, they are winning. And Satan, you take your hands off of God's children. We bind you right now in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off of these relationships, these marriages. You take your hands off of their promotions. You take your hands off of their money, their finances. And you take your hands off of them because sickness does not dwell in the house of God. And you all are a tabernacle for God. And we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.